November last year saw the publication of the results of an analysis of the worldwide causes of vision loss. The study, which was a collaboration between experts from countries across the globe, found that most common causes of vision impairment differed significantly over time and between demographics. Professor Rupert Bourne, consultant ophthalmologist and professor of ophthalmology at the Vision and Eye Research Unit of Anglia Ruskin University, led the study group. Here, Polly Dully asks him about the implications of the findings and how they relate to UK optometrists.
Rupert, your study analysed several decades' worth of data. Could you tell us what your specific aims were with the project?
Up to now, we have not had any accurate estimations of the temporal change, the change in with time of the prevalence of vision impairment and blindness across the world and by region. So the main purpose of this work was to gather all the available evidence for the prevalence of blindness and vision impairment and look at that over a period of time from 1980, which is the start date for gathering this information for this review, to 2012. And then to focus on two time points for our analysis of 1990 and 2010, and to look at the prevalence of vision impairment and blindness by age, by gender, and by cause, and look for change over that period.
And why is it particularly important to conduct this kind of analysis?
Well, without performing this kind of analysis, we are unable to generate estimates of prevalence of vision impairment and blindness for policymakers looking at it from a global perspective, for example, the World Health Organization, who were a collaborating partner in this particular exercise, to produce estimates and to create targets to reduce the or eliminate avoidable blindness. And as we know, that's one of the that's the major aim of Vision 2020.
So can you tell me a little bit about how you actually carried out the study?
Well, first of all, it was very much a collaborative exercise. Back in 2007, there was a call from The Lancet for all people interested in ophthalmic epidemiology to get in touch with The Lancet, and this was part of a thing called the Global Burden of Disease Study. And what happened was a group was brought together of ophthalmic epidemiologists, optometrists as well as ophthalmologists are involved, and there are 79 of them, and they composed the Vision Loss Expert Group for the Global Burden of Disease Study, and that's the group that I coordinate. And that group worked together to perform the systematic review. So we searched through approximately 15,000 abstracts from the literature for studies that were truly population-based surveys of eye disease. And from that data, we then were able to use the know-how, the knowledge, the regional knowledge from our global collaboration of ophthalmic epidemiologists to work out which of those studies were of the highest quality. And so from that, we came up with a final database of 243 studies. And from those studies, the data is extracted from the published literature and put into a large database. But one of the key things that was different from similar attempts to do such estimates was that we also gathered data from principal investigators called microdata. In other words, data that is more detailed, but we did not make it into the published literature. And that data is extremely helpful in terms of giving more detail and more granularity to our overall database.
So the data that you included in your study varied from previous studies in that you also used some unpublished data. Did your study differ in any other way from previously published studies?
Yes, the previously published studies that you might see are the World Health Organization estimates, and they get published, let's say, every 5 years or so. The difference between our study and those WHO estimates is that, first of all, the data that enters into our database was data relating to less than 618 and worse severity of visual acuity, but also data between 6 over 12 and 6 over 18. So we've looked at mild vision impairment as well, of which there were no estimates previously. We've also organised our data so that we can look at the gender differences, and the previous estimates have not commented or analysed the difference in male-female prevalence of blindness or vision impairment. Additionally, we have had a different a statistical process than what has been used previously, and because we've included all the data dating back to 1980, we're actually able to model for temporal change, which has not been possible with the previous estimates from the World Health Organization, because the tendency with those estimates was that they would report on the most recent set of published estimates and then compare those estimates with a previous data set. And the model we've used is a more effective way of assessing for temporal change.
Could you tell us a little bit about the results?
Yes. Well, the results are very interesting. First of all, the age-standardised prevalence of blindness and vision impairment has declined over a period between 1990 and 2010. So we set those two dates as the dates around which to model the estimates. But of course, we have data in there ranging from 1980 to 2012. So the age-standardised prevalence of blindness and vision impairment has reduced. This is a very interesting result, because you need to think about that in the light of the fact that the world's population has increased dramatically over that period of time. And also the age structure of the world's population has also changed, and the world's population is becoming older. And so despite those changes in the demographics, the age-standardised prevalence has reduced over time. But because of those demographic changes in terms of the age structure and the increase of the population, the absolute numbers of people blind or vision impaired has remained relatively static, with a very, very small increase, in fact, in numbers of people blind or visually impaired. And in fact, globally, 32.4 million people were blind in 2010, and 191 million people moderate or severely visually impaired. And interestingly now, because we included the mild vision impaired, we're able to say that 176 million people are in that category between 6 over 12 and 6 over 18. And that's a very important piece of information which we didn't have previously. And we've also been able to demonstrate differences between regions in terms of the cataract and other causes of blindness and vision impairment, how that's changed over time, which we weren't able to address in the past.
So were these results in line with what you were anticipating, or were there any surprises?
The first thing to say in relation to that is that because such a large comprehensive assessment had not been done previously, we weren't aware of where the gaps in the data were. And that's an important thing to say, because in the 1980s, for example, there were relatively few studies, but in the 1990s, many more studies came on stream. And a lot of those were in East Asia and South Asia. But there are still gaps in the literature, which, having not done the study, we wouldn't have necessarily been aware of. And particularly Latin America, the Caribbean, and Eastern Europe. For example, in Eastern Europe, there's only one study which is used to inform the estimates. So that was a very interesting finding, and that helps us decide on where the gaps exist for preparing for other population-based studies in the future. So that was the first thing, was the data availability. I think it was a surprise to see such a marked reduction in the age-standardised prevalence, and this was a significant reduction across the regions. And it was very interesting to actually obtain estimates of prevalence of blindness and vision impairment with relatively small confidence limits across the different regions. And we didn't have that level of data before.
Are you able to suggest a reason for the reduction in age?
Yes. The other thing, of course, we've done is we've looked at the cause breakdown of blindness and vision impairment. And the most dramatic reduction by cause is for cataract. So the prevalence of cataract blindness and cataract vision impairment has reduced dramatically over this period of time. While diseases associated with aging, such as macular degeneration and glaucoma, have shown dramatic increases over that time.
And are there any conclusions you can draw that are particularly relevant to us here in the UK?
Well, that's interesting, and certainly we have produced estimates for the prevalence of vision impairment and blindness in the UK, as we have done for all countries. But it's very important to exercise some caution when looking at those estimates, because if you take the UK, for example, within the database there are five population-based studies that are in the database which were performed in the UK, and those studies are relatively old, some of them performed up to 20 years ago. And so a lot of the data that helps us produce those estimates for the UK also comes from other high-income countries which are relatively similar, such as Australia and North America. If you take Western Europe, for example, rather than UK specifically, then in 1990, 19% of the burden of blindness was due to cataract, while in 2010, the percentage had dropped to 14% in Western Europe, and this is the burden of blindness due to cataract. So even in 2010, there's still a very considerable proportion of blindness due to cataract, and which of course is a readily treatable condition. And if you look at other causes of blindness, let's take age-related macular degeneration. Our estimates suggest that in Western Europe in 2010, 16% of the blindness burden was due to macular degeneration and 11% due to glaucoma. So there is a particular issue here in terms of these diseases such as macular degeneration and glaucoma becoming very much more important diseases in terms of the burden of blindness. And then if you switch to moderate and severe vision impairment, in other words, people who see less than 6 over 18 in the better eye to 3 over 60, in 1990, cataract was responsible for 24% of that burden of vision impairment in Western Europe, where in 2010, that had dropped down to 14%. So as a cause of vision impairment, the burden due to cataract had dropped dramatically over that period of time, but still it's responsible for 14% of vision impairment. For macular degeneration and glaucoma, in terms of a contribution to vision impairment in 2010, you're looking at about 5% for macular degeneration and 3% for glaucoma. For diabetic retinopathy, that accounts for about 3% of the burden of vision impairment in 2010 in Western Europe.
And so are there any recommendations for the management of these patients we've just discussed as a consequence of your results?
I don't think we can give any specific recommendations from the study, because that's not really what the study was geared to do. It was to provide a data resource for policymakers and from an academic perspective. However, it's very clear from the results, when you look at them globally, how there is a rise in the diseases associated with ageing, particularly with diseases such as macular degeneration and also glaucoma. And so certainly I'm sure most individuals involved in eye care policy would agree there is a need to assess people in the age category of 50 years and older, which is where the vast burden of eye disease exists, to have people examined for eye disease and to detect undetected eye disease to reduce the eventual prevalence of vision impairment and blindness.
You told us that the age standardised prevalence for blindness had reduced. That's rather interesting. I just wonder whether you can shed any light on why that might be.
Well, first of all, we need to explain what we mean by age standardised prevalence. And so if you want to properly compare across countries with time, without being concerned about the effects of ageing and population growth, then you need to standardise your data against a reference population. And in this case, we did it against the World Health Organization reference population. So this allows us to compare over those two time periods. And yes, the age standardized prevalence has reduced, and that's probably due to the effects of interventions, particularly cataract treatments across the world, but also due to changes in living conditions, the whole host of other reasons, and also increasing wealth over that period of time as well, which may account for the reduction in blindness and vision impairment prevalence. But what's most interesting is that despite that reduction in the age standardised rate, the actual numbers of people with blindness and vision impairment has not changed particularly. And that's really because of the marked population growth that's occurred over that period of time. It's a good news message, really, from this work, that despite these big changes in population growth and age structure, the actual age standardised rate is dropping for both blindness and vision impairment.
So having established that the age standardised prevalence of blindness has dropped during the time period that you studied, could you tell us a little bit more about the causes of that blindness?
If you break down causes of blindness into preventable or treatable causes and the untreatable causes, in 2010, 65% of the 32.4 million blind had a preventable or treatable cause. Now that's compared with 68% of those who were blind in 1990. So the percentage who are blind due to a preventable or treatable cause has reduced over that time. If you look at this in a bit more detail and you break down to the actual diseases concerned, the leading causes worldwide in 1990 and 2010 for blindness were cataract. And that was caused 39% of blindness in 1990, 33% of the overall blindness burden in 2010. Uncorrected refractive error was the next most common cause of blindness at 20%. A lot of that will be uncorrected aphakia. And macular degeneration was responsible for 5% of the blindness burden in 1990, but 7% of the blindness burden in 2010.
And could you tell me a little bit more about the differences you found with gender as the reference point there?
Yes, it's certainly very interesting to see that women are more affected by blindness and vision impairment than men, and that was the case across all the regions. From a global perspective, approximately 20 to 30% more women were blind than men. So, for example, there are quite significant inter-regional differences, particularly in Eastern Europe, for example, where the ratio is such that there are very many more women associated with blindness and vision impairment than there are men.
That's interesting.
And that's because of the high mortality amongst men in those regions.
Hmm. From the trends that you found in the results of your study, does it allow you to predict what might happen in the future?
Certainly there's always an interest in extrapolating the results into the future, and other studies have done that in the past. We're certainly interested in doing that, and that's an ongoing process at the moment. We intend to use the data we have to give some predictions for the future based on predictions also of population growth and change in age structure of populations. But at the moment that hasn't been published. Certainly there's an interest in increasing the size of the database and continually updating it. And we've had some funding from the Brian Holden Vision Institute to allow us to do that over another 5 years. So we're actively adding data to this database. I have two fellows working with me on that, Aditi Das and Alex Sylvester, and they're working with John Somner also to create a visualization tool. Essentially, that is an online portal whereby anybody around the world with internet access would be able to access the summary data from this exercise. So they can draw down on a particular country and look for gender differences in prevalence of vision impairment and blindness and by cause. And so it's not just academics using this, but also those involved in eye care policy can gain ready access to this information.
And is that something that might be available to optometrists? Because I can see optometrists would be very interested in your findings, and I'm just wondering how they'd learn a little bit more about it.
Certainly, I very much encourage optometrists to access this database, and we will be sending information out to professional organisations about how to access the database in the future. And there's certainly an importance in disseminating this information to optometrists, but also encouraging interest amongst optometrists in research into this particular area, particularly the area of population-based studies of eye disease, and looking outside of their local clinics and thinking from a more global perspective as well. And we would always encourage optometrists, just as we have them on board with our vision loss expert group, to get involved in this sort of research, which ultimately is very important in terms of improving the welfare of populations worldwide.
Thanks, Rupert and Polly.